Greetings to each one this morning. It is good to be with you all this morning. I'd like to talk about a subject or a word this morning that it's a very important word, something that we must all apply to our lives as Christians. If we're going to be a genuine Christian, we need to give it. We also need to receive it. And it's typically something that is harder to extend or harder to give than it is to receive many times. And Jesus said that if we're not willing to give it, we really can't be part of his kingdom. Any ideas come to your mind that subject that I would like to share on this morning? Any guesses? There might be multiple things that could come to your mind. Shout them out if you have an idea.
Forgiveness.
Okay, thank you. You nailed it. I wasn't sure how clear that would be. And I realize when we think about a subject on forgiveness, there's probably things that come to our mind right away that are maybe very close to our heart, maybe experiences that we went through, maybe times where we had to, or maybe called to forgive someone where it cost us a lot, or it was maybe a very hard time. We've also, as children of God, we've been on the receiving end of forgiveness and the beauty that that brings. The title of the message this morning is The Beauty of Forgiveness. You probably know some people that are going through life with a rather bitter attitude, maybe an attitude of unforgiveness that caused them to become very bitter over the years. Some time ago, I was talking to a man that I getting to know better, and he's a professing Christian, a man that I appreciate a lot. But in the course of our one conversation, he talked about the neighbor at the end of his lane is a family member, and they're not on speaking terms. They haven't spoke, to my knowledge, for quite some time. And when I hear something like that, it's so sad to hear of a Christian not being able to speak with his closest neighbor, who's also a very close family member. So I don't know the whole story there, what all took place, but you have even those things within among Christians where there's bitterness and unforgiveness. Talking to another man some time ago, he talked about some very hardships in, again, a close family situation, and some of them were not on speaking terms. I just shared with him how, according to the way I understand Jesus' teaching, like if we want to receive the forgiveness that Christ offers, we also need to be willing to extend that forgiveness to others. As I was studying for this message, I came across a very touching story. Two men, their names were Chad and Charlie. And Chad was the owner of a barber shop in Wyoming. This goes back some years ago. And he enjoyed his job, cutting hair for his clients. And one day, he was in between clients, and some robbers came in and held him at gunpoint and robbed him. I don't know how much they took from him. From that experience, he was very angry towards those people that robbed him. He wanted to forgive them, and yet he just felt himself going down a road of bitterness, very angry, and it affected many areas of his life. Until one day, God really spoke to him, and he became aware that if he wants to continue extending or receiving forgiveness from God, he's also going to have to come to a place where he can forgive those who robbed him. Well, they were arrested, they were caught, and there was a court hearing coming up. And before that, or the trial, Charlie was the one who held him at gunpoint. Chad was the barbershop owner. Chad came to the place where he just broke down before God and asked God to forgive him for the bitterness that he held towards these people. It was actually a brother and sister that came in and robbed him. And he experienced healing from that time. And the day of the trial, Chad was given the opportunity to speak to those who robbed him. And he pled before them. He said, basically, he shared his story of receiving God's forgiveness, and he encouraged them not to allow this time to be wasted as they were going to be sentenced to a time in jail. It's like, allow God to use this time in your life to speak to you, and just encourage them with that. Well, some years went on, and at a church event, Chad actually met the sister, the one who robbed him. And he went up and spoke to her afterwards. And at first she was, you know, taken back. But she also, in the meantime, experienced God's forgiveness. She became a Christian. And later he was able to make connections and talk to her brother, who was out of prison at this time and had a family. And he was also a born-again Christian. And what a beautiful reunion. It took some time, but they actually met. And just a very emotional time, as the one who held him at gunpoint the one day to now both being brothers in Christ and both experiencing forgiveness and healing. What a beautiful story of redemption. As we go through the message, again, the title, The Beauty of Forgiveness, I want us to keep that in our mind. So forgiveness sometimes is very difficult to extend. And I realize there are some sitting here this morning that went through much harder experiences than what I ever have. But no matter how hard the experience is, I believe, or the circumstance that we face, God wants us to forgive. And wherever, whenever forgiveness takes place, there's also beauty there. And that's what I'd like to look some this morning. So the title, The Beauty of Forgiveness. And I realize not every story ends as beautifully as Chad and Charlie's. Actually, Chad, in the meantime, in the years that went by, he closed his barbershop. He was no longer in that business, but he had another business going, and he actually hired Charlie as one of his employees. Just a beautiful picture of redemption and forgiveness. So I have a few points I'd like to look at this morning. The first one is what Jesus said about forgiveness. And Matt, I appreciate the devotional. God's word is a lamp to our feet. It guides us and it shows us what forgiveness should look like. And this is a subject that I'm not going to be able to cover exhaustively this morning. It's a very large subject, and it's really, even though God's word gives us guidance, when it comes down to some of the tough situations that we may face, I probably have more questions than answers. So I don't stand before you as one who has the answers. In fact, this is a subject that hits home to me as well, and I believe hits home to every one of us, really. The second point I'm going to look at is the importance of forgiveness. And then thirdly, the blessings of forgiveness. And then fourthly, I want to look at some clarifications on forgiveness. You know, what forgiveness, I believe, looks like and what maybe it doesn't always mean either. And I want us to see the beauty in forgiveness so that we are quick to forgive and slow to hold a grudge. I believe our tendency as humans, we can often be quick to hold a grudge and slow to forgive. At least in my own experiences, sometimes it's much harder to quickly forgive than it is to, you know, maybe hold a grudge or distance yourself. And some people will say, "What? I forgive, but you know, there's still a lot of strings attached." Well, true forgiveness, I don't think, has that type of mindset. So moving to the first point, what Jesus said about forgiveness. So for an introduction, I'm going to just put a few verses up here before we turn to a passage. Well, Matthew 18 is where I want to go, but before we get there, I want to just read a few verses from the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus said about forgiveness. So Jesus was on the mountain teaching his disciples and likely a large crowd of people that were gathered around as well. And he teaches them how to pray. And Jesus said this in the verses up here on the wall. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That's what I really want us to think about this morning. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." After Jesus concluded that prayer, he went on to expound a little bit more about forgiveness. And again, the verses on the wall. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So again, thinking about forgiveness. And the question I have for us, so God forgives us to the extent we forgive others. How forgiven are you? That's a sobering question to think about, the way I understand forgiveness. So if we're asking God in the Lord's Prayer, as we say the Lord's Prayer, if we're asking God to forgive us as we forgive others, or to the extent that we forgive others, how forgiven am I? And I want each one of us this morning to examine our hearts. We all need to look internally and ask ourselves that question. So, before I move, if you're not in Matthew 18 yet, you can open your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18. I'd like to look at some verses here. So, Matthew 18 is a fairly big chapter. Jesus is teaching what greatness looks like in the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to talk about a trespassing brother and how a Christian should respond when someone is wronged. So when someone comes, or when someone sins against us or offends us, Jesus said, we're first, before you know gossiping and going around, said, can you believe what this person did to me? Jesus says, first, go to that person and try to work it out among yourselves. Tell him or talk to them about it and work it out. If you can't reconcile just one-on-one, then get one or two others and go talk to them and try to reconcile it. And then if that doesn't work, you go to the church and have the church try to work redemptively at it. And if they're still not repentant, to treat them like an unbeliever. They're put outside of the church. And some years ago, I would have thought, treat them like an unbeliever, just like have nothing to do with them. Well, an unbeliever, we're called to try to love them, to draw them back in. So it's continuing to work redemptively. And then what I'd like to look at this morning is mainly following that passage. So I don't know exactly what the setting looked like here. So Jesus is telling his disciples, or at least some of the disciples are around, and Jesus is talking about reconciliation. And then Peter says, Lord, or Peter comes to him and says, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? So my understanding is at the time the rabbis would have taught that they were to forgive up to three times. So if someone sins against you more than three times, that's, I don't know exactly what all that looked like. But Peter probably felt like he's being very generous by saying, how often shall I forgive? Like seven times? And then Jesus, we know his response. These are very familiar verses. In verse 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven, or 490 times. In other words, unlimited. Continue to forgive. Now, if we're keeping track of 490 times, I believe we need to really check our heart. I believe Jesus was getting at, he wants us to continue to forgive. So I'd like to pick up here, Matthew 18, I'll start reading at verse 23, the account or the parable of the unforgiving servant, and I'm just going to read 23 through 35. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35, very sobering verse again. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So this account here gives a picture, I believe, again, of what unforgiveness will look like if we are not, or will end up looking like if someone deliberately chooses not to forgive. So I've done some studying on this, what exactly, you know, the amount of this was that the man, that the servant owed. I found differing numbers from different sources, but I think it's fair. Well, one place I've found, it says every 6,000, or so he owed him 10,000 talents, and one talent was equivalent to about 6,000 denarii. So every, or one denarii was usually one day's wage. So one talent, 6,000 denarii are 6,000 days of working. So every 6,000 of work days, you could pay off one talent. So if you would work 5 days in a week, in 1 year, you would earn 260 denarii. And at that rate, about every 23 years, you could have paid off one talent, or it would have took about 230 years of working to pay off the 10,000 talents. Now, I don't know how accurate that is. So in one lifetime, impossible. Like, he owed a debt, even though he said, have mercy, I'll pay thee off. It was likely a debt that there was no chance he could ever pay. And again, this is a parable. Jesus was telling a story to illustrate a point, or to bring out a point. And then that same servant, after being forgiven so great a debt, maybe today's, it would have been like, you know, one of us owing someone several billion dollars. Like, it would have looked like this is impossible to ever pay off. And then turning around and remembering someone that maybe owed us $500 and just holding it to their throat and not forgiving for, and not offering forgiveness to them. So it's a sad story how he was forgiven so much and yet refused to give someone that owed him maybe a couple weeks or a couple months worth of work. And he had him, yeah, put him in the, or took hold of him until he would pay him all. So I believe Jesus purposely used an amount that it was a debt that he could never pay off. And thinking about, or moving to the second point now, the importance of forgiveness. And again, thinking about if I offer forgiveness, or if I want God to forgive me, I have to look at how I'm forgiving others around me, or how I've forgiven those who wrong me. Because the fact is, we're not going to go through life without miscommunications with people at times. We're not going to go throughout life without someone offending us at times. Like, those are all part of life. Those things will happen. We can't avoid them. And it is so important for, as we look at this parable, for us to think about our own life. And the truth is, we've been forgiven a debt that was impossible for us to pay off. There was no way we could do good enough to earn our salvation. Christ has already paid a debt that we could never pay. So I'm going to look at a few verses here in Scripture. And I think sometimes as we think about those that maybe wronged us, and maybe we're struggling to forgive, sometimes I believe I can feel like they owe me the 10,000 talents and my debt was only the much smaller debt here. Someone that owed me 100 pence. I get it. I can sometimes get it reversed and thinking like, well, this person did so much against me, and yet I don't see the 10,000 talents that God has forgiven me many, or that I think that can easily happen. So a verse in 1 John 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say some unrighteousness. It says all unrighteousness. And what a beautiful picture of redemption that this is. When we think about, if we confess our sins, God is willing, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's willing to forgive us the 10,000 talents, a debt that we could never pay. Another verse in Colossians, this is from Paul. This is not what Jesus had said, but Paul was expounding on the teachings of Jesus. And he said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Again, thinking about what we have been forgiven from, what we have been redeemed from. We've been taken from the powers of darkness, the darkness where we were held captive and delivered and translated into God's kingdom. And we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then one more or two more verses up there. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So again, I think many times when we struggle to forgive, we must go back and remember and look at what Christ has forgiven us from. And I think that should motivate us to extend forgiveness to others. I'm not saying it's going to make it easy, but I think when we see the accurate picture of God and what he has done for us, forgiving us the 10,000 talents, it should enable us to be willing to extend forgiveness for the 100 pence or whatever it is that was done against us. I'm going to move to the third point, the blessings of forgiveness. And I have a few here that I want to look at this morning. There's many blessings or benefits that we receive when we're willing to offer forgiveness. And the first one I have noted, it enables us to receive God's forgiveness. Again, going back to what Paul said in Colossians, we were living under the power of darkness. But Christ, in his love and his mercy, when he died on the cross, he broke the chains of bondage, of chains of our sin, and translated us into his kingdom, brought us into his kingdom. So when we offer forgiveness to others, it enables Christ's forgiveness to continue flowing into our lives. It frees us from bitterness. And someone has said, forgiveness is bitterness, what water is to fire. So we know that water puts out fire, at least if you put enough of water onto a fire. And when we forgive, it drives away the bitterness, or it puts out bitterness. There's a verse in Hebrews says this, and it's up on the wall there. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So forgiveness is not just a one-time thing that we need to deal with, but it's something we continue to, we need it. We continually need God's forgiveness, but we also need to continue to extend forgiveness towards others around us. And it is possible from this verse for bitterness to spring up in our hearts. And the writer here says that thereby many be defiled. So it's something that we need to continue to work on. Yesterday, Larry Graber, some of you know who Larry Graber is. He came to the shop. I'd put some antlers on a board for him. And was talking to him for some time in the shop yesterday and talking about church life. And then I told him the message I'm preparing. And I was like, I believe it's Friday that he'll be celebrating his 74th birthday. He's a man that was in the ministry for many years. And as I was preparing for this subject, I realized the older someone lives, the more experiences they have with forgiveness and extending forgiveness. And I was like, what words of wisdom do you have, you know, as I think about this message? And he shared with me for some time, and I just share very briefly, and I don't remember verbatim. I don't have it's not a quote from him, but one of the things he said, the sooner we can forgive, the better off we will be. And in his life, he's faced some very difficult things, and even some very difficult things within his own family. And really, so sometimes we want to hold on. We don't want to let go what someone has done. And we feel like maybe we have the advantage if we don't let go. Like if we let go, we are weak. But it takes a lot more strength to just let go. And if we let go, it drives away the bitterness. And he shared just a story in his, this happened many years ago, but a very difficult situation even in a church setting where there was friction there. And this one man, it was a hard time. Many years later, Larry met this man, and the way they were walking, they were going to cross paths, but this man took a detour, and Larry noticed that he deliberately avoided him. And that Larry came to a place where he had forgiven him. He was willing to talk to him, but that man was not willing to talk. And it's so sad when that takes place, especially when it's even among church-going people, professing Christians. And I realize sometimes there's very deep wounds that go deep. But I believe if we don't forgive, that root of bitterness springs up, and we need to seek reconciliation. Bitterness is like drinking poison with the hope that it harms our enemy. I'll say that again. Bitterness is like drinking poison with the hope that it harms our enemy. That might seem silly, and yet it's, I believe, very true. If we don't forgive, we're actually harming ourselves. We're drinking poison ourselves, and we're the ones that are going to be living in bondage. It robs us of joy. And, yeah, another one I have up there, it gives us peace. And moving on, it is also a powerful witness. When others are aware, or when the world can see reconciliation happening or forgiveness happening, it is a powerful witness. I know some years ago I talked about the Nickel Mine school shooting that took place many years ago, but it got worldwide attention. And the reason it got so much attention, or some of the reason, so the Nickel Mine shooting was a shooter went into an Amish schoolhouse and took the lives of some children. The way the Amish responded with forgiveness spoke very loud to many people, and they observed the forgiveness that the Amish offered. Another story, as I was preparing for this message, was a story about a policeman that he had a 21-year-old son that was shot and killed. And this policeman, it was obviously any time someone loses a son or a child, it'd be a very, very difficult time. And this policeman felt a lot of hatred towards this shooter. The shooter was again arrested. And he was a professing Christian, and God also began to work in his heart. And the day of the trial, God really did something in his heart. Instead of feeling anger and bitterness towards this man, he saw him in a sense as his own son. And he felt love and he felt compassion for this man. This was God at work in his life. This man was sentenced to prison, and I believe it was years later, God continued to work in this man's, the father's life. His name was Ike Brown. He actually wrote up a letter and wanted to send it to his son's killer. And it took a lot of courage for him to do this, but he finally wrote this letter, and in his letter, he explained how he missed his son, and he asked for this man to be a son to him. What Ike wasn't aware of, this prisoner was really going through a time of searching in his own life. And he was seeking God and asking God to show him a sign that he was real, that there was a God. And he gets this letter and starts reading it and just breaks down. And it was in prison where he surrendered his heart to the Lord. And he wrote back to the policeman, the father of the son that was killed, and just shared his testimony again. Just the story of redemption. They were able to have visits with each other and be reconciled. And again, thinking about the beauty of forgiveness, it is a powerful witness when we can offer forgiveness, another blessing of forgiveness. And then the last one I have noted, and this is not an exhaustive list, there could be many more, but it improves both our mental and physical health. Now, I haven't studied much about this, but there have been studies done where bitter people that just continue to hold on to bitterness are much likely to have health issues. And I say that very carefully. Like, we can have health, a forgiving person still has health issues, but it can really improve someone's both mental and physical health when they choose to forgive. So moving on to the fourth one, clarifications on forgiveness. Again, this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but I would just like to think about, or think briefly about, what forgiveness is and what it is not. So forgiveness does not condone or excuse one's actions, but you refuse to use their actions as a weapon against them. So sometimes we might think, well, if I forgive this person, like, let's just say it's something that was very wrong that was done. There's some really sad situations out there of abuse and things like that, where people are still called, we're called to forgive. It doesn't mean that what they did was okay, but we still are called to forgive, and to, we don't use their actions as a weapon against them. Forgiveness is more for us than it is for them. Forgiveness opens the door for reconciliation, but does not guarantee it. So those two stories that I've shared, those are stories where reconciliation happened, and that's beautiful when that takes place. But that's not always the end of people's stories. Sometimes there is not reconciliation, where the other party is not willing to forgive or to be reconciled, but forgiveness does open the door. There's many, it's so sad when I think about all the divorce and remarriage, what happens when there's divorce and remarriage, it's closing that door for reconciliation to take place, but forgiveness opens the door for reconciliation. Also, forgiveness is often a process. Now, I don't have a scripture verse to back this up, and I'd be interested in, maybe we could discuss it afterwards too, but in my own life, I believe God is gracious to give us time to work through and extend forgiveness. And I believe the greater the offense, the harder it is many times to forgive. How all this should look, I'm not sure. Like, I think on one side we can say, you know, if we're called to forgive, we can just say, oh, I forgive you. And we're not actually processing it. Like, I think we should process it. And the conclusion should be that we offer forgiveness. On the other hand, we don't say, well, it's just a process. I don't really need to forgive now, and we just keep pushing it off. No, it's something that we need to work through, but it sometimes doesn't happen just like that. And that's one that I probably have more questions than answers to, but I really believe it is a process. And maybe you're working at something right now in your own life where you feel like you haven't completely let go. Maybe you are in the process of it, but the conclusion, or the end, we should come to a place where we can offer forgiveness, but I realize sometimes it takes time. Forgiveness does not mean you will forget. I believe there are times where we might forget it. Like, it really might just, you know, the Bible says God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. And there might be times where we offer forgiveness and, you know, we forget it completely. But I don't think it means that we will always forget. A quote from Fred Rogers, he says, forgiveness is a strange thing. It can sometimes be easier to forgive our enemies than our friends. It can be hardest of all to forgive people we love. I don't know how it is in your own life, but I think this is true many times. Now, depends the extent what our enemies might do, might be very hard to forgive. But there are times where ones closest to us might be the hardest ones that for us to offer forgiveness. And why is it like that? I'm not exactly sure why. You know, the closer we are to someone, the more likely or more times things will happen where there's misunderstandings, miscommunication, and offenses. And sometimes close relationships like that can be the hardest to forgive. Again, still doesn't say we shouldn't forgive. We're still called to forgive. So in conclusion, I want us to see the beauty, I want us to see the beauty in forgiveness so that we are quick to forgive and slow to hold a grudge. And in the picture, there's two young children there holding hands. And sometimes I can appreciate, you probably, especially parents, you've probably all seen this, and even adults. You see maybe a time where young children are fighting with each other. And sometimes just a few minutes later, they seem like they're best friends. And if you flip to the beginning of Matthew 18, Jesus says this, "For verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." I'll just stop there. But I think sometimes, as adults, we can observe the children when we think about not holding a grudge and to be reconciled. And the beautiful picture that is when forgiveness takes place. So we looked at what Jesus said about forgiveness. I mean, we looked briefly at that. There's more teachings in that than what we looked at. But we also looked at the importance of forgiveness. And then thirdly, the blessings of forgiveness. And some clarifications on forgiveness. And what I would like each of us to do this morning, and I think what I'll do in closing here, maybe just spend a short time, just we all quiet our hearts before God, and just ask God to search our hearts and where we are all at in our relationships. And what I would like us to do, if God has spoken to any one of us specifically, maybe about a specific relationship, to ask God what forgiveness looks like and how that should be carried out. Because forgiveness, there's action that needs to take place in order for forgiveness to happen. And the choice is yours. Will you choose to forgive? I know we don't often or hardly ever kneel for prayer, but maybe that's what I'll ask this morning. If we can all kneel, or you can kneel for prayer, we'll spend a little bit of time in quietness asking God to search our hearts, and then I will close with prayer. You can all kneel at this time. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We are so grateful for the forgiveness that you offer to all who confess their sins and repent and put their faith in you. We thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Thank you for the 10,000 talents that we have been forgiven. And I pray that each one of us in return would be able to forgive the small debt or the small price that, or the wrongs, whatever it may be, that others have done to us. Help us to be willing to extend forgiveness towards them. And I pray, if you've spoken to anyone this morning, that we would be willing to extend forgiveness. Give us wisdom in knowing what that looks like, whether we should go, if we need to talk to someone and ask for forgiveness, or whether we just need to let go of an offense and to move on and to put it under the blood and extend forgiveness to them. I pray that you would speak clearly to us. We recognize we live in a world where there are misunderstandings, there are hurts, and your desire is for us to forgive so that we can continue to receive forgiveness from you. And I pray that each one of us would choose to do that. And we thank you for the beauty that forgiveness brings. We recognize also that when we choose forgiveness, it is a powerful witness towards others and can draw more people into your kingdom. We don't know what you will do in our lives yet, but I pray that you would allow, or that we would allow you to continue to work in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.